here at the Midwest Ag Expo at Gordyville, USA, day one of this two-day event, just east of Rantoul on US 136. You can't have a farm show without having a farm broadcaster. Look who I found, Max Armstrong. Hey,
we're pretty flush with farm broadcasters here. I saw Mr. Gentry running around here, and you. And no, it's just a treat to see you again, sir. And I think many of us have been reliving last year's Penfield show and Rantoul show, and you know, just covering the waterfront here and some of the topics of interest now.
You can never have too much help, you know that. And having Dave Gentry joining us here in our ag team has been a real pleasure.
Well, Dave is a class act, and many of us have known him for a long, long time, and I think it's just a wonderful, wonderful deal for both parties as far as I'm concerned, and the listeners benefit from it.
So listening to WITY coming down, liked what you're hearing?
You know, and it's... I'm an AM radio guy. You know, I go way back. So I listen all the time through my app right here. Yep. But what, and I rented a car at Midway Airport, and what I was surprised to see was the logo, the WITY logo, pops up on the screen of that media unit in the car. And there it was, right there in front of me. I took a screenshot of it. Anyway, to make a long story short, I just really enjoy listening, whether I'm here or I'm 1,000 miles away all the time. It really keeps me in touch with the area and what's going on here.
Well, you've been a vital part of our ag coverage for many, many years, Max, and we do appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate it more than you know, just the kindness and of all the friendships that we've formed over the years. And that's why I'm here. I didn't come for any other reason than to see old friends. And Linda knows that every now and then I have to come see my buddies in Central Illinois.
Well, you might find the tractor here from Max's tractor shed.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that, too. Thanks for the reminder. I'm going to get some pictures before I leave here today. We've always got to get a shed tractor. We've got some great stories that come along. The one that I had last weekend was a tractor that went through the end of the barn. Sometime in the 1940s, it was an F-14 in upstate New York. And the gentleman was getting ready to crank it up. He did crank it up, didn't realize that his son had left it in gear. Ooh. And it just came right at him. He was able to jump clear, but it went right through the end of the barn. And better yet, he had a picture, a black and white photograph of that tractor sticking out of the end of the barn sometime in the 1940s. You don't find those photographs like that every now and then.
So when you're out trying to find a tractor for the show, what's some of the criteria that you look for?
Well, I look for a good story. That's what I want first and foremost. Anybody has pictures of tractors, videos of tractors. You know, I've always, since 1997, I think it was, or 95, on the tractor shed, I've always looked for the story behind it. Not just good photographs. I want good photographs. Some of them up close. You know, show me what it looks like in the cab. Show me the back end, the business end, the PTO. You know, I want that beauty shot for sure of the side and the engine. I need a good overall picture, but get me some up-close shots. High resolution. Do it late in the day when the sun is setting and just lights up that paint like crazy.
You know, we've talked about stories before similar to what you went through. Your dad got rid of the tractor and you got it later on in life. Sometimes they stay in the family for 70 years, but having that reunion, bringing a tractor back to a family farm is really nice.
You know, and that's a topic that's real current with me because a couple of people have reached out to me in recent days and said they're trying to find Dad's tractor, and they've been looking hard and they've been checking serial numbers. If you can remember also something different that Dad had on that tractor, that was the story for John Kinsenbaugh of Kinsey Manufacturing. He was able to find his dad's tractor because of a hole that had been drilled there.
So what do you think of all this new technology, Max? I mean, we're from the old school. We've got to have it to keep up with society right now, but man, sometimes it can be really overwhelming.
Well, it can be for a guy our age, but you know, young producers obviously embrace it readily, take advantage of it when they can, when it makes economic sense to do so. And my goodness, it's just, there's some wonderful, wonderful opportunities to manage what you do and manage it better. And you know, the data that we collect, of course, the ability to interpret that data and to farm, you know, with all that information and to be able to sort it out, it's just a beautiful thing. And I was talking, as a matter of fact, I was talking about a week ago to a young lady who graduated from Purdue in ag engineering. And she said, you know, this is a tough time to be joining a farm equipment company. And I said, well, it is if you're talking about the iron. You know, the equipment sales are down substantially on big combines and big tractors. However, when you look at the needs going forward for more efficient farming, for autonomy operation, simply because of our labor challenges, if you can find ways to pick those strawberries efficiently, cleanly, don't damage the fruit, don't bruise the fruit, my goodness, you know, there's all kinds of opportunity ahead for those advances. It is something to be excited about. I really feel that way, and many young people are entering agriculture with that kind of an attitude. It's just a tough economic landscape now, a tough time to be coming into the business.
We've really seen the drone technology take off the last several years.
We have, and, you know, I mean, you go back 10, 12 years ago, and the batteries, you know, had very short life, and the batteries were large, and the capability of the drone was limited. Now, look at all of the things that have come along. Now we're looking at the need to regulate who makes drones. And obviously the administration in Washington and some of the lawmakers on Capitol Hill have been concerned about this. The problem is, until we get domestic production amped up, there are going to be some challenges in sourcing some of these drones because we became so reliant upon one Chinese company. And it's not just a problem for agriculture, Dave. Police departments, fire departments are using them actively now, and for very good use. It's a neat thing to see how our communities are benefiting, and not just agriculture, from that kind of technology.
What role do you think AI will play in the future?
It's unlimited. I mean, I'm almost speechless in talking about it. I'm probably consulting it 15, 20 times a day, but you know, you need to ground truth it, is what the drone guys would say. Ground truth that information coming from the drone. It's not always right. It's not always perfectly correct. And especially if you go in with a little bit of common sense, of knowledge about something you personally experienced, and then you start asking questions, sometimes that AI will take you down a wrong path until you ask other questions. And I've been told that the AI learns from those questions that you ask and can deliver a more accurate answer than in the future for somebody else. But just think about connecting the dots of medical research, for example. You know, these researchers working at one time in isolation, then tied together by the internet, now can look at a database and analyze it through AI and take some giant strides in just a matter of days that might have taken years in the past.
I know a lot of people are concerned about jobs that it may replace.
You know, I think it's a realistic concern. I mean, if we're continuing to go down the same path that we have, conversely, we're going to still need people who know how to, you know, keep the toilets flushing, who know how to keep the electricity coming into the home. That will involve embracing technology as well, but jobs that people have not embraced in the past, boy, this generation needs to be looking at them in the future. Our 50-year-old heating and air conditioning guy came out the other day and has his 20-year-old daughter with him. They've been out three times this summer, so I've had the discussion with them. I think we're going to get a new unit in our house. But anyway, to see him training her for her career ahead, to pass that baton, and she's going to be ready to go. She'll hit the ground running when Dad's going to hand that off to her.
I know in our business we value personality radio so much. You and I grew up with personality radio. I heard a case the other day where there's a station out in Arizona that's using all AI voices for their entire day. I just don't see that as a good mix for radio.
Yeah. I don't either. I don't think they're going to be able to respond to the things going on at the moment.
Nope.
The matters of the heart that come along that, you know, a live voice can respond to on the radio. There are just so many things. And I guess let me back up and say, you know, against some radio stations, they'll probably fare very well. It's going to be simple. It's going to be easy. It's going to be cost effective. Going up against somebody who's operating a station the way you do, that's a different story. I don't think they're going to be able to pull that off to a station that is so local, so committed to the organizations, the county, state government, what's happening in the community, the Farm Bureau, the 4-H clubs. You guys do that stuff, and I don't think AI is going to ever replace that.
I've always said you got to have that community flavor. You got to go to events like where we are today at the Midwest Ag Expo.
Well, and people see you there.
Yeah.
They're not going to see AI walking in the door. People
That's
see
right.
you, and they recognize you as a friend from the station. And Dave Gentry's the same way. He's been around the area so long, and people know him. And there's just something very neat about that, I think. You are considered a member of the family. Mm-hmm. Think about that. How many times have you heard that, Dave?
Yes, you're right.
I was on a plane about 5 years ago, and a flight attendant came along, and she said, you know, you were a part of our family when I was growing up. Dad told me to shut up all the time when you came on the air. I apologized to her. She said, no, I have some wonderful memories.
Well, we'll catch up with you again here. We're glad to have you as part of our ag team for all these years, Max. Goes back to 2009 you first joined us.
Oh, goodness. I didn't know what year it was. It had been a long time. And, I enjoy it so much. I'm a big listener. That's why I enjoy it so much. I was telling you the other day, you know, when I take calls on my phone, it messes up my app. So I've got to get a good internet receiver out in my shed. I've already been shopping.
Yep.
I've already been shopping. I think it's going to cost me about $150, but I'll get that. I'll send you a bill for that to WITY, Dave.
You got it. We'll take care of it, bud. Max Armstrong joining us on this report from the Midwest Ag Expo going on today and tomorrow. 185 exhibitors with their displays. You stop by here today till 4 o'clock this afternoon. If you can't make it, come out tomorrow. Very easy to find just east of Rantoul on US 136. It's called Gordyville, USA in the town of Gifford. Park it here for more information throughout the day. We'll have more reports yet today and tomorrow on Ileana's Farm Choice.
WITY.